The Boston Marathon bombing has provoked shock, grief, and outrage from around the world. After decades of conditioning, the public automatically equates such terrorism with Muslim radicals. But the evidence shows that every major terror plot on American soil in the past 10 years has been fostered, funded, and equipped by one organization, the FBI. This is the GRTV Backgrounder on Global Research TV. People around the world watched in horror this week as explosions rocked the finish line of the Boston Marathon, turning a day of sportsmanship and celebration into one of shock, grief, and outrage. As with all such events, the desire to discover who was behind this cowardly act has driven many into a speculative frenzy. And, in a sad reminder of the indoctrination that the Western world has been under for over a decade now in the mythical War of Terror, it did not take long at all before the collective finger of the mob was pointed squarely in the direction of Muslim terrorists. Within hours of the blast, fear spread throughout the international Muslim community that the bombing would be connected to an Islamist extremist. A Libyan Twitter user touched a nerve and received hundreds of retweets and worldwide media coverage by tweeting, "Please don't be a Muslim." The backlash began shortly thereafter, with the New York Post falsely implying that a Saudi national was being questioned for his possible role in the attack. The next day, a plane departing Boston Logan Airport returned to the gate, and two passengers were forcibly removed because they had been overheard speaking Arabic before takeoff. As data continues to pour in regarding the bombing and who may be behind it, it is important that we take a moment to step back and consider this knee-jerk tendency to conclude that this is the work of Islamic radicals. In the minds of millions of Americans, bombs targeting innocents on U.S. soil are inextricably linked with the image of the bearded, turban-wearing boogeyman that has become the shorthand for evil in this age of terror. This association is not only incorrect, it is dangerously incorrect, because it signally fails to identify the one unifying thread between all of the recent terror plots in the U.S. Lurking behind the shadowy armies of would-be jihadis in the popular imagination is the sober reality that every single major terror bust in the United States since 9/11 has sourced back to the same group, a single entity that is in every single case funded, equipped, and even incited the would-be terrorists into action. The FBI. In 2005, federal prosecutors charged Michael Reynolds, a 47-year-old drifter living with his elderly mother, of attempting to wage jihad on the U.S. by blowing up fuel facilities. He was arrested after agreeing to meet with an FBI informant who had promised him $40,000 for his cause, and 2 months later the FBI quietly announced he was likely mentally ill. In 2007, the so-called Fort Dix Six were nabbed in a much-hyped FBI terror bust after allegedly hatching a plan to attack a U.S. military base and kill the soldiers there. At the time, a 26-page indictment revealed that the group had no rigorous military training and did not appear close to being able to pull off an attack. The next year, it was revealed that the FBI informant who had infiltrated the group had in fact offered to organize the members and lead the plot itself. In 2009, the Newburgh Four were arrested for an alleged plot to blow up synagogues and shoot down military airplanes in Newburgh, New York. The group was a ragtag bunch of poor black men, at least one of whom was mentally unstable and stored his own urine in jars around his apartment. The group's fifth member, Shahad Hussein, turned out to be an FBI informant who had promised the members hundreds of thousands of dollars to carry out the plot. In sentencing the defendants, federal judge Colleen McMahon said, "The government created acts of terrorism out of the defendants' fantasies of bravado and bigotry, and then made those fantasies come true. The government did not have to infiltrate and foil some nefarious plot. There was no nefarious plot to foil." In November 2010, the FBI busted the so-called Portland Christmas tree bomber, who was allegedly attempting to bomb the lighting ceremony at Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. The threat was very real, the FBI intoned at the time. "Our investigation shows that Mohammed was absolutely committed to carrying out an attack on a very grand scale." The alleged bomber, Arthur Balazan, turned out to be a teenager who bragged to undercover agents that he could get a gun because he was a rapper and wrote an article on workout tips for jihadis. In 2011, the FBI arrested a man that they themselves had supplied with a remote-controlled plane and C4 explosives in a harebrained attempt to bomb the Pentagon. In 2012, they busted another would-be jihadi that they again had supplied with a fake gun and suicide vest. Also in 2012, the FBI busted a group of five anarchists who were allegedly going to bomb a bridge in the Cleveland area, although it was quietly admitted that the FBI informant who had infiltrated the group had in fact initiated the contact with them and been present at the meetings where they developed the plan to blow up the bridge. One of the most ridiculous examples of this pattern dates back to 2006, when the DOJ attempted to make it seem as if they had just nabbed a group of dangerous jihadis who were preparing a full ground war against the United States.
Now, fortunately, because of the fine work of law enforcement, these men were unable to advance their deadly plot.
A dreadful potential catastrophe averted. And clearly, government wouldn't bother to hold a press conference if this were not a major step in the war on terror, right? All right, so good night, everybody. And, questions.
Didn't the man have any actual contact with any members of Al-Qaeda that you know of?
The answer to that is no.
Did you find any explosives, weapons?
And you raise a good point.
You do raise a good point, that point being that these deadly international terrorists had very slyly disguised themselves as a bunch of dip-s living in a warehouse.
The picture that is painted by these facts is as overwhelming as it is difficult for much of the public to comprehend. The conclusion, nevertheless, is incontrovertible, that without the FBI, many of the so-called terrorist cells that have been hatching their inept, bumbling schemes against the United States for decades might never have existed at all. Despite what many would believe, this conclusion is not even controversial. Rather, it has been backed up time and again by evidence in the official record and multiply attested to by FBI insiders and whistleblowers themselves.
Last winter, the FBI was praised for its speed in cracking the case of the World Trade Center bombing and bringing four suspects to trial. Now, there is some evidence that the FBI may have known of the plot in advance through an informant and might even have stopped the bombing that killed six people. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams has the story.
FBI agents might have been able to prevent last February's deadly explosion at New York's World Trade Center. They discussed secretly substituting harmless powder for the explosives, but they didn't, according to the FBI's own informant, Imad Salem.
When a urea nitrate explosive is detonated, the urea nitrate breaks into urea and nitrate. Nitrate ions, urea is out there. And we found high concentrations of urea at the World Trade Center, and we found urea nitrate explosive at a bomb-making factory, which we could point back to the folks at the that were the suspects. And I wrote a report that we found urea nitrate ions, and that was consistent with the presence of a urea nitrate-based explosive. However, it was also consistent with the urea, which is used on the streets of New York at the time, is a bio-friendly ice melter. Nitrate ions, which are in the acid rain belt. Urea is in sewage. It's coming out of your fingers right now. It's in urine. Sewage mains burst in the crime scene, you know, as a result of the explosion, World Trade Center. FBI management ordered my boss to tell me to take those alternative explanations for the data out of my report. And I remember the day very well. It was raining. It was dreary out on East Street behind the FBI building. I was looking out the window, and I told my boss, well, they can just fire me. I'm not going to lie in this report. I'm going to lie in a court of law. Well, ultimately, they just fired me because they needed somebody to lie. But another individual in the lab decided to just come in and give them the answer they wanted. And when he put himself in that position, in order to convince our managers that these things were true, Steve Burmeister, my partner at the time, and I made some samples and told the fellow they came from the crime scene. One of them was actually urine. I collected my own urine in a beaker and dried it down and extracted it with acetone. and turn that sample over to this fellow. And then Steve Burmeister mixed urea nitrate or urea fertilizer and ammonium nitrate and gave it to the guy. And his response in detecting these things was, okay, we got them now. That was urea nitrate bomb. And then we went to our manager and said, oh, here's the problem. And this is what's going to catch you when you get to court. This guy's ready to declare a urea nitrate bomb. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not trained in explosive analysis. He doesn't understand chemistry. He doesn't even have a degree in chemistry. And yet he's being declared as your chief chemist, and you're going to put him up front to make a point. That's going to blow this case all apart, and it's going to show the government's going to lie in court. And so we told the manager what we did. The manager absolutely blew up at us. We were astonished. What do you mean? You know, I'm not going to embarrass my chief chemist, and don't you ever do anything like this again. Well, you know, Mike Isikoff at the Newsweek magazine at the time wrote the incident up that I was so frustrated at management, I got a beaker and urinated in it. And that's where he stopped. Made me look sort of like a fool. But that's what, I chide Mike about that all of these years when he calls me every once in a while. That isn't what happened. That is what happened was we showed that this individual, without any realization of what his data meant, was willing to make a statement in a court of law that was completely false, completely, and would have very much threatened that prosecution or that case.
Knowing what I know, and again, this was written 91 days before the attack, knowing what I know, I can confidently say that until the investigative responsibilities for terrorism are removed from the FBI, I will not feel safe. The FBI has proven for the past decade it cannot identify and prevent acts of terrorism against the United States and its citizens at home and abroad. Even worse, there is virtually no effort on the part of the FBI's International Terrorism Unit to neutralize known and suspected terrorists residing within the United States. Unfortunately, more terrorist attacks against American interests coupled with the loss of American lives will have to occur before those in power give this matter the urgent attention it deserves. Realizing more American lives are going to be needlessly lost, no one should expect me to consciously sit idly by and pretend to forget the things I know. By sharing what I know, the terrorism problems plaguing America may be corrected. Knowing what I know, I truly believe I would be derelict in my duty as an American if I did not do my best to bring the FBI's dereliction of duty to the attention of others.
Given all of this damning history and insider whistleblowing, it is vital that the Western public break out of their media-induced programming and question the core assumptions of the war on terror paradigm that we have been programmed with for decades now. If there is to be speculation at all over events like these, and if there is any group that has to present a thoroughgoing case for why it is not responsible for this atrocity, surely it is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Having been at the heart of so many terror plots in the past, both the hilariously inept and the chillingly successful, how could the public refuse to even interrogate the organization that has the most to answer for? The simple fact of the matter is that the history of the modern age of terrorism has proven time and again that the FBI is the prime suspect in any terrorist atrocity that takes place on American soil. Let us all keep this in mind as the details of the investigations into this and all other American terrorist incidents begin to emerge. For more on this story and other breaking news and current events, please go to globalresearch.ca. For more research and analysis by James Corbett, please go to corbettreport.com.